When we were in Dominican Republic, we did it. May I be permitted, since there's microphone is not an issue, to stand a little bit closer to you. Business men and women know how to deal with numbers. Let me throw a few numbers at you. The world is increasing by 100 million people a year in its demography. 100 million. The church is reaching somewhere between 1 and 2 million a year. We would have to reach 100 million people a year just to break even. The task is so immense, that it's almost impossible if we look at the possibilities. Unless God's people explode out of the box and fill the world. If we were reaching 100 million people a year, it would be marvelous, but we would only be breaking even. To gain headway, you have to reach probably 1 billion people a year. Or maybe even 500 million. 500 million would be pretty good. We're not even reaching 1% of those people. So, something has to happen. Before the bridegroom is going to come for the bride, the gospel will be preached in all the world. Do you believe that? So if you were the bridegroom, you would be pretty desperate right now. And I believe God is desperate. Some years ago, after I left working in the Caribbean Union here in Trinidad and Tobago at Columbia Union College, we accepted a volunteer position with my five children, my wife and I and five children, to go to Guyana to open up some medical work. We chose to trust the Lord for our very food and just experience Him firsthand, because we knew that it would take an experience with God to make it through the final times. Not only was God faithful, but He not only provided our food, but He provided the first airplane, then another airplane, then a school, then another airplane, then another school. Today, there are 8 aircraft, 5 schools, 2 television networks, and adding 2 more television networks before the end of the year. And I'm not talking about a station, I'm talking about a worldwide network. How do we deal with those finances? It's very simple. We don't ask managers, people, for money. We ask the owner. God owns all the gold and the silver, correct? Do you believe that? Then why not ask the owner? Why do we spend so much time dealing with people about money? They don't own anything. Two weeks ago at ASI in Cincinnati, a very wealthy man came to me, a multi-millionaire, and he said, "Please tell me what I'm hearing. Is this true? Or is it just hot air?" So I explained it to him. And it was hard for him to deal with it, because when you're used to dealing with figures, you need it in black and white. And I said, and what I'm going to tell you right now, I explained to him, but I said, "Do you know why I will never ask you for any money?" He said, "Why?" I said, "You don't own anything." I said, "God owns everything. You're just a manager. And I don't deal with managers. I deal with the owners." It's kind of shocking for wealthy people to hear that. But that's the truth. God wants His people to say, it's not about what man can do, it's about what God can do. So therefore, we decided to risk everything. And in business, I used to teach some classes. I was asked to teach a few classes for the MBA program for Andrews University here at CUC. And one of the things that we teach business students is that return is proportional to risk. You want a high return? You got to take high risk. Agreed? And I'll tell you what, if God's people are going to finish the work, we've got to take some immense risks. That's the only way. In fact, I was scared to death when I heard a Baptist preacher preach about the Sabbath a few months ago. On national television, he stopped right in the middle and he said, "By the way, in case you didn't know, the true Sabbath is from Friday night to Saturday night, sundown." And then he continued his sermon. I just finished 8 days with 800 pastors and doctors with Focus on the Family. I have never heard a clear explanation of the great controversy. And what we're facing, I had the director of evangelism for Focus on the Family said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest decision you will ever face is in the near future is whether you will obey God or believe Satan's lies. It's either God's word or Satan's lies, man-made rules. You must learn now to obey God." Well, that sounds a lot like the great controversy to me. And then I went to the International Christian Visual Media, all the who's who in Christian media, and I heard a whole week series on the sanctuary. I thought that was our doctrine. God is tired of waiting, and He's telling His people, "I'm going to cross the Jordan with or without you." He's inviting us to cross the Jordan. Now Joshua, when he was told to cross the Jordan in Joshua 1, God told him in Joshua 1:3, "Wherever you put the sole of your foot, that have I already given unto you." All of a sudden it dawned on me. God has already given to us enough to finish the mission. But we got to plant the sole of our foot. Now, given means past tense, right? Any English majors? That have I already given to you. But where you will put the sole of your foot is future tense. It's up to God's people where you're going to put the sole of your foot. Are you willing to plant your sole of the foot on something big? Well, I made a decision that, Lord, if nobody else says, at least I will. I can't control everybody else's decision, but I can decide what I'm going to do. So after seeing God provide for the airplanes, for the schools, in the year 2000, I told the Lord, I will not set a boundary. Whatever you give to me, I will accept. Well, I almost repented from that. Because in the year 2002, I got a call from Bolivia. Brother Gates, there is a television network for sale in Bolivia for $1.5 million. Will you please come and buy it? Now, me? I'm a volunteer. I've never seen that kind of money. Yeah, but you told us that there's no limit with God. Is that true? Well, yes, it's true. So, what's the problem? That's where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? Where you have to go and do something that you know cannot be done? Well, I went. A year ago at ASI, I spoke in the Dominican Republic. And I had not yet seen God's answer to that prayer. We were already on satellite. We were global. But guess what? I was still waiting for the answer. November 30, I did sign that document for $1.5 million. We did get on the air. I did sign another contract for $720,000 to get on the satellite. And we hadn't even paid for the first $1.5 million. How could we sign the other? But I felt that the success that God was giving was evidence. And so as He gives the opportunity, I went forward. We got on satellite. 8 months after being on satellite, we were in the homes of 100 million people. That Spanish network is spreading like lightning. And then came the cruncher. November 30, the people called me and said, David, we like your station. We like your programming. But you know what, David? We got a problem. We're human. We believe in God too. But you know what? We got to pay our taxes. And we can't deal with just faith. We got to have cash. Well, I've given them $200,000, but the interest had eaten that up. So I still owed them $1.5 million after being on the air, you know, for a year. So they said, we're going to give you until the end of the year, 30 more days to pay it. If not, we ask for the station, for the network of all your stations. We wanted you to give them back to us. I said, I'd be happy to do that. If you're not going to argue or fight or defend, I said, it's not my network. It's God's network, and He has all the money He wants. If He wants it, He let Him pay for it. You know what, David? I believe with that kind of faith you have, these are Catholic people. With that kind of faith, I'm sure God will do it. We won't have to take it back. And I said, let's kneel down and thank the Lord for what He's going to do in a few days. On December 30, I'm in bed saying, Lord, we got 24 hours. We have 24 hours before we lose the network. But you know, Lord, I know you're not going to let that happen. You love people too much. But we need $1.5 million. And the Holy Spirit came over me and said, would you stop begging? I've heard you begging for a year now. Why don't you start thanking? Well, what do I thank you for, Lord? Well, start thanking for what you're about to receive. Well, how much am I about to receive? That depends on you. What do you want to thank me for? Well, if that's the case, I'm going to thank you for the whole $1.5 million. Good. That's a good start. And by the way, Lord, I still owe $100,000 for our satellite uplink. Okay, then thank me for that too. Okay, so you want me to thank you for the $1.6 million? That's fine. And the rest of the morning, I was just on cloud nine, thanking the Lord for the $1.6 million. Have you ever thanked the Lord before you saw anything? I was thanking the Lord all morning. All of a sudden, my phone rang. I was at the airport getting ready to go in an airplane. There was a dentist beside me. And I said, just a minute. Hello? Yes, doctor. And this elderly man told me, my wife just died. And she managed a family business for 44 years, but I'm a physician and I didn't pay attention. And now that she died, the accountant brought me all her accounts. And she has $1.5 million in her cash account. David, I'm going to heaven. I'm sending my treasure on ahead. I'm giving you the whole 1.5. 24 hours. 24 hours before. Well, when I called Bolivia and they heard that news, they almost hit the ceiling. They said, if that God of yours is so powerful, we're going to subtract $100,000 in interest. We got to do our part to help you too. Well, I thought that was a $100,000 response from God. It wasn't. 2 hours later, the dentist who heard that story, he went running to his wife and he said, honey, I just was standing there and I saw the biggest miracle of my life. We got to do something. David and Becky have sacrificed everything and God has answered their prayer. What sacrifices are you and I doing? Well, why don't we do like them? Let's clean out all our accounts. So they got their checking account, business account, emptied it out. Cash account, personal account, emptied it out. Savings account, 3 checks. They came to see us. David and Becky, we want to pray with you. We prayed together. And after we were done praying, he pulled an envelope out of his pocket and he said, I have 3 checks for you. And I said, don't tell me. I already know how much they are. He said, how much? I said, 100,000. He said, exactly right. I had thanked the Lord for 1.6 million. And he gave us 1.6 million in cash on that one morning. God is faithful. Now, if you believe that God is not asking you to do the same thing, then you got God. You're serving the wrong God. It's not about David Gates. It's about God. God is desperate to finish the work. And he has given some of us members of ASI resources. Some of us have talents. All of us have talents. Some of us have administrative. Some of us have other skills. Some of us have resources and cash. Some of us have assets, lands, properties, business. And you know what? God's not playing games anymore. He's expecting his managers to leverage those resources to get the job done. It's about launching life rafts. Now, people have asked me, David, you assume debt. I assume debt. My dad has a farm. It's a family farm. We borrow money on that farm all the way to the hilt, and then God pays it off. And we do it again and again. You know what? Sister White says we shouldn't have debt. How do you deal with that? And I said, when Titanic was level, the cook was cooking. The maids were making the beds. The maintenance boys were painting. And everybody was doing their job. But you know what? Once that Titanic hit that iceberg and it lost its level. You know what? The cook wasn't cooking anymore. The people weren't making beds anymore, the maids. There was only one thing they were doing, and that was launching life rafts. I believe since September 11, God has struck a bell. This world is not level anymore. Everybody knows it's going down. And it's not time to be doing normal business today. It is time to be launching life rafts. That's the only thing that counts. God has money stored up. He's desperate to put it into the hands of his people. But you know what? His people haven't even used the part that they have already. And if you haven't used what you got already, please don't be so crass as to ask him for more. Use what you have first, and God will give you more. Everything you have, put it into the work. Whatever God asks you to do, remember, you're just a manager. You don't own anything. We were doing a live satellite event in Venezuela a few months ago, and an evangelical pastor touched me on the shoulder. He said, I'm Brazilian. I'm here because 300 pastors have signed a petition for you to come to Brazil to put your television station, not in Spanish, but in Portuguese. They have been watching that station. Could you come with me? Well, how could I say no? But I didn't have enough money for my ticket, so I had to use my credit card. And I flew to Brazil. And when we got there, immediately, they took me right into the mayor's office. 18 million people in the city of Belo Horizonte. 18 million. That's a lot of people in one city. I met with the mayor. And then they said, we want you to buy this television station and put your signal on the air in Portuguese. Oh my, well, what does it cost? $1 million. Oh, I didn't even have money for my ticket. But I saw God do it in the past, and I didn't have any excuse. So I saw God leading, so I said, okay, let me look at some other television stations first. And the Holy Spirit said, no, sign the document right now. Well, I'm used to listening to the Holy Spirit. So I signed the document, and as soon as I got done signing, the phone rang, and another buyer said, I have the cash, I want to buy your station. He said, sorry, I just sold it. They needed a down payment. They gave me 10 days for the down payment, $150,000. The very day the down payment was due, $150,000 became available. And it was not just a simple gift. It was somebody who put their whole home in mortgage to make it happen. They were taking risks. We got on the air 9 days ago. And the contract said that we had to pay the amount of money right after we got on the air. So we had 3 days to pay the money, and we owed $800,000. Lord, I've been through this before. You're the owner of all the assets. If you want that station in Brazil, if you want those souls, you got to pay for it. On Thursday, the day before it was due, I got an $800,000 phone call. That's not a lot of money. I mean, that's not a little bit of money. That's a lot of money. What is God telling us today? I just want to open my heart to you. I believe each of us is under a sacred responsibility and calling from God. If we're going to cross the Jordan, if we're going to go home one of these months very soon, it is time to lay everything on the altar. It is time to learn to trust Him now with our things, because if we can't trust Him with our things, how in the world are you going to trust Him with your soul? Answer that one. It has to be about a total laying on the altar. And God is calling His people today to do that. He's desperate. And if you will do that, your financial handcuffs will drop off. Because it's about infinite resources. If you are willing to do that, God is laying before us infinite resources. My name is Gates. And I share the name with Bill Gates. And I've met Bill Gates twice. And it's not a coincidence. Neither is it a coincidence that Bill Gates' right-hand man is a Seventh-day Adventist. And you know what? One of these days, Bill Gates' resources are going to become available to us when we need them. And God is keeping them there. Ecclesiastes 2:26 says, those who love God, God gives joy, peace, and wisdom. But those that do not please Him, He gives them the task of piling up riches so that He can give it to those who love Him. Bill Gates doesn't know it yet, but that money is in savings for us. All of that money is ours. But we need it. We won't get it till we need it. And another secret. All the media, the technology, the networks in the world were invented by God for one purpose. To finish the work. So when you look at those big television networks out there, don't think to yourself, why does the devil get so much money and we don't have them? You know why? You haven't put the sole of your foot on them yet. They belong to God. They're ours to take. If we could only understand that. Are you willing to sign a contract for a radio station? You know we have a radio station here in Trinidad? It's operating 11 hours a day. Some young people signed the document. You know what? They need to own that station. It's going to cost about 7 or 10 million TT. I just had a long chat with them. They need to sign that document. Until they put their signature there, they won't get the money. Are you willing to do the same thing? Are you willing to put your name on the line to save souls? I believe that when you see God very soon, He's going to hold you. He's going to hold me accountable. And He's going to say, the money that I put in your hands, the talents and abilities that I put in your hands are you buried. Thou unfaithful servant, take away that even which he has and cast him out into outer darkness. Many of us are going to hear those words because we have resources in our hands which we're not using. May I beg you, may I suggest that you begin tonight with a total consecration to the Lord of everything you have, realizing it's not yours, it's God's. Use it to save souls. Leverage it and God will fill the storehouses. Leaders can do it, not just people. You can't control what the denomination does because that's another group of people. But you can control what you do. But in Venezuela, the leaders finally got infected. And at our last board meeting at the Venezuelan Union, we voted to buy 17 television stations. It's going to cost about $500,000. They don't have that kind of money. It would bankrupt us if we did. But we voted it anyhow. And as soon as the members figured out what was voted, they started putting in money from everywhere. One member gave us $50,000. And the division said, this union has the vision to finish the work. Count on our support too. You know what? We didn't know they were going to do that. We didn't know Pastor Latha was going to do that. We didn't know the members. But you know what? We took the decision and it scared all the presidents to death. But they took it anyhow. And they risked everything because we would probably go bankrupt if God didn't do a miracle. But you know the guillotine? The last article I wrote said, quick, the guillotine is falling. Stick in your head. The guillotine already fell on Jesus. If you will stick in your head in the guillotine, it won't fall on you. Follow God implicitly. Trust Him anyhow. And we can finish the work and go home. This year was the first year in a long line of years at ASI in North America. The wealthiest ASI division in the world. This year, their projects, they voted, were nearly $500,000 less than last year. Every year has been climbing. And this year went down. That's not acceptable. And when you vote your projects, it is not acceptable for you to vote small projects. May I suggest a project for you? For those of you that are leaders in ASI, may I suggest something big enough that's worthy of ASI? I suggest that you make a decision. This year, we will reach all of our territories with the Lord and vote a project that's at least 10 times bigger than you can possibly do it. If you will do that, you will see what God can do. But if you vote a project that's within your capabilities, I feel sorry for you. Because that's human, that's not divine. Do not vote projects that are within your capabilities. Vote projects that are 10 times bigger. And when you see God do it with that, next year do it 100 times bigger. But plan big enough that only God can do it. If you do that, if you set the standard high, your members will come up to the standard. Don't ask for the colors to come back. Ask the soldiers to come up to the colors. Plant the standard, aim high, and God will bless and multiply. I'm going to ask some friends right now to... some of you might have seen our table out there. We prepared a DVD. Some of you have it. But we're going to pass them out and you take as many as you want to share with your churches. The one you saw about Mission Aviation. Just take it and pass it to the ends of the hall. Share it with your churches. I hope this DVD, it's in English, but it has Spanish and French subtitles. You can watch it in any church. I hope it will inspire you to think big so that soon we can go home. I'm anxious to go home, aren't you? God bless you.
Thank you.